Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. We've got a great show today. We're going to start a new series. I am so excited about this series because I know that this is where the spiritual rubber hits the spiritual road. This is where life really takes place as we walk and try to follow Christ. We call it body, mind, and spirit. And we'll get to that discussion in just a moment. Let me remind you, 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. And you can find out more about us if you check out our website, www.721ministries.org. That's the numbers, 721ministries.org. And we are a ministry in the upstate and across the state where we deal with businessmen, and that is our primary focus. But we also speak to mixed groups and churches and do preaching. But our desire is that men first, but then we see this trickle down through their families, will see past the fog that our culture has created, and quite frankly, that our church culture oftentimes creates, that it's about being there on Sunday, and if you've done that, you've really done your good deed for the week, and you're okay with God, and maybe a Bible study here and there, and God's going, you know, I mean, Jesus says in Matthew 7, 21, 22, and 23, don't give me your list of activities. I want to know you. We need to know each other. All the stuff that you do is good, but that's at the end on Judgment Day, when we present that list of activities, Jesus says, if we don't know each other, I'm going to stop you in mid-sentence and say, no, you did all those things because they made you look good, feel good, or they satisfied this checklist sense of religion you have, but we don't know each other. Don't let that be you. Okay, today we're going to start this series on body, mind, and spirit. Let me start by reading to you God's words to us through Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. And Paul is writing about how we build our life, what we do with our lives here on earth, because what we do here matters. It doesn't get us into heaven, but it matters there. It really, there's eternal significance to what we're doing. He starts off with this: by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and now someone else is building on it, talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But each one should be careful how he builds, and I would say how you build your life. Each one of us should be careful. Verse 11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the starting point. Without that, we're wasting our time. And if you don't have that foundation, everything I say to you from here on out is going to sound like rules. It's going to sound like something you need to do, an activity, just another thing. But with this relationship as the foundation, then he goes on to say in verse 12, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, those would be things that have eternal significance in his example. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, or straw, which obviously is eternally insignificant, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Now, I hope that you can hear what God is saying to you is what you do here matters. And it will be judged, and it will be weighed out, and it will be tested with fire. If you are saved, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven no matter how you live down here. And he says, but you'll only get there by as one escaping through the flames, you know, just barely making it in, I guess, is sort of the way we might interpret that or read that. But he says, if you build your life with things like gold and silver and costly stones, things that have eternal value, then you're going to get a pat on the back from God when he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what I want. That's how I want to start this series, is what you do here matters there. And God wants us to live the life that has eternal significance. He wants to have us to live the life that takes the talents that he has given us. You have been created uniquely by God. He has given you talents. He has given you gifts. He has given you a mind and a personality just for you. And he has placed you in places that only you can do the things for him that he wants for you to do. And when you get to the parable of the talents, you know, one person got one, two, another five. It doesn't matter whether a talent looks like five or a talent looks like two. All God cares about is what you do with it. And the man that doubled his talents who started with two, it gets the same pat on the back and the same joy and pleasure from God that the man who took five. So maybe you say, I don't have five talents. I'm the guy over there with one or two. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But in God's eyes, it doesn't matter. He designed you, and he wants your life to be the A-plus life that Jesus died for you to have. Not just the C-minus life that we just sort of work our way through the culture, day to day, getting done what needs to get done, being harried and busy and pushed around by everything, our schedule, but a life that is rich, a life that produces fruit. In the parable of the four soils, Jesus says, the soil that receives my word, receives it and lives with it and acts on it, produces 30, 60, 100 times what was originally planted. That's the A-plus life. And what I want to say to you today is you cannot find that life. You will not discover that life. You cannot live that life out if you ignore the central fact that we are human beings with bodies and minds as well as spirits, and they are all interrelated. They are interdependent. And when we ignore one, we ignore it to the detriment of the others. So if you think my spiritual life is fine, you're just hassling me now. Now you're starting to meddle in the details of my life because you're talking about my body and how fit I am or how healthy I am. And now you're starting to talk about my mind. And come on. No. It's all tied together, and you cannot separate them. And I think that's got to be obvious. You know, there are days that I don't really feel well, or I didn't sleep well the night before. And God might put someone in front of me, and most of our ministry is done in the interruptions. We don't really see them coming. But I was tired that day. You know, I didn't sleep well. Or I ate too much, and so now I'm weighted down. I don't feel good. Or I really haven't been exercising. My body's kind of working against me. Or I polluted my brain the night before watching a movie I shouldn't have watched, or looking at some type of magazine, or even just catalogs these days. And I don't really feel like I should speak the word to someone that God puts right in front of me. You know, I don't feel worthy of it, or I'm too tired. And I think God's going to look at me later when he starts judging, as we just saw in 1 Corinthians Chapter 3, he's going to say, Sam, I put that person in front of you that day because I knew you could speak into his heart or her heart, and you were just too tired. You know, you didn't feel good, or you had spent the day before trashing up your mind, and the regret we're going to have. So, let's talk about that, and today I want to start with this idea of what we do with our time. Because if we're not purposeful and intentional with our time, we will miss the body, mind, and spirit A-plus life. And I just have to sit back and think, you know, Satan tried a frontal attack against God. He tried to gather up his share of the demons, the angels at the time, and go right at God. And, of course, that failed miserably, and he's cast out. If he's sitting around thinking, how can I get back at God? Because you better know that's all he cares about, is getting back at God. He cannot go at God with a frontal attack. So what does he do? He takes God's prized creation, you and me, and he says, I'm going to knock them backwards. And every time I hurt one of them, I'm getting a stab in at God. And that's what he wants to do. And he does it with three D's. Destroy, which means keeping you out of a relationship with Christ. Then he's got you. But if he loses that major battle, then he'll seek the rest of your life to distract and discourage you. Distract and discourage. So it's destroy, distract, and discourage. And he does this by drifting, by getting us to drift. You can just imagine him sitting around with his cohorts and saying, okay, guys, we've got to get at them, and we've got to do it subtly. Now, we can get them with some addictions. You know, we can get them with gambling, we can get them with pornography, we can get them with alcohol and drugs, but we won't get the vast majority of them that way. It's too much, it's too obvious. And those humans, you know, they'll get in and help each other when they see someone in that kind of problem. And God is a God of love and grace, and he'll reach down and help people when they get into those kind of situations. No, to be really effective, to get the vast majority of them, we've got to do it subtly. And we do that by getting them to drift. God says in Philippians 2:12 through Paul that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We are to work it out, not work for it, but work it out with fear and trembling, reverence and respect for him. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. We are saved, and then God looks at us and says, okay, now I'm going to do the heavy lifting. I'll work and will in your heart, but you've got to work out this salvation by being purposeful and intentional. See, Satan wants you to miss the obvious fact that when you say yes to something, that means you're saying no to something else. When you say yes to the busyness of this culture, it means you're going to turn around without realizing it and say no to something else. So let's go back to just imagining that Satan is. And if you think, okay, Sam's a little nutty about the Satan thing, I believe in Satan because Jesus believed in Satan. I believe in Satan because Jesus talked about Satan like he was a real person. He didn't talk about him like he's some generic form of evil or from Star Wars, the bad dark side of the force. He said, this guy is real and he's out to get you. And he wants to hurt you. So you can just see Satan sitting around and says, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to distract him. And what we'll do is we'll just ease him away from God little by little with little decisions. The little decisions that these humans, because they're such knuckleheads, they won't realize that the cumulative effect of these little decisions will be just like a major decision. See, none of us are going to step out, or very few of us are going to step out one day and say, I've decided that I'm going to completely ignore my body, that I'm going to start indulging in pornography, and I'm going to get hooked on internet pornography, and I'm going to do anything I can to destroy my body. I'm not going to sleep well. I'm not going to exercise well. I'm going to eat as poorly as I can. I'm going to drink and smoke and all. We don't do that. We drift slowly. And by the time we wake up and realize that we've drifted away, now it's gotten to where, you know, the status quo is just, it's just too easy to stay that way, and it's too much energy to change, and they've got us. Satan has knocked you away from your heavenly Father. And you know, we might think, well, you know, how could we be so dull-minded? But it is what happens to us if we're not careful, if we're not purposeful and intentional with our time. You see, our bodies and our minds and our spirits to get that A-plus life. Now, if you just want the C-minus life, which, quite frankly, most of us have. Now, you may say, nah, I don't have a C-minus. I got a B. Well, that's you grading yourself up on the curve. Quite frankly, when you compare it to the immeasurably, abundantly, more than anything we could ask or imagine life that God wants for you, it is a C-minus at best. To do that, we've got to be careful about our time and what we consider to be our priorities. See, men, we're such easy prey for Satan because our culture has convinced us that our manhood and our success depends on how much we work and how much money we make. In this kind of environment with such a terrible economy, and I talk to men day in and day out who have lost their job, they're out of work, and the first thing I ask is, can you separate your manhood from this? Are you able to separate the fact that you are God's child and he loves you and your work does not define you? And the fact that you're out of work right now is not something that is who you are. It is just a circumstance that you're in right now. So see, men are easy prey because the culture just forces us to work, work, work and try to make more money. And if I work more than you, boy, if I'm busier than you are. And then women are easy prey because, and believe me, I've got a child. We women want their children to be involved in every activity that comes along. And the busyness that comes from that gets us so out of whack that we have lost the time to focus on the things that we would say are our priorities. The cumulative effect is that we lose out on keeping our bodies fit, keeping our minds fresh and clean. And therefore, our spiritual lives can just start to blossom and get that 30, 60, 100 times more than the seed that was planted in you. That's the A-plus life that God wants. And when we come back in the second half of the show, I want to talk about our time management and what we do with our priorities. More straight ahead.
Dale Tackett, creator of the Truth Project, is coming to the Upstate on August 27th for a one-night event. Hi, this is Tony Beam for the Palmetto Family Council, reminding you that seating is limited and you don't want to miss this challenge to live biblically in today's culture. The August 27th event will encourage you and equip you to engage your culture. Remember, Dale Tackett of the Truth Project will be live in the Upstate on August 27th. For ticket information, go to www.truthproject-sc.com.
From the studios of HCJB Global, Beyond the Call with Ron Klein.
Pat and Mike left the comforts of their Mississippi home to live in the Amazon basin in South America. And it's because this committed missionary couple has a burden to see the southern Shuar people receive Jesus Christ. Currently, less than 2% of the Shuar people are Christians, and many of them combine worshiping spirits with their Catholicism. But Mike admits it will take more than missionaries to change these people's hearts. Mike says the Holy Spirit will have to do some things for them to see and understand He is the true and one God. I trust He will do that. Allow the Holy Spirit to use you. Make an impact for God's kingdom right where you are. Just be willing to go beyond the call. For HCJB Global, I'm Ron Klein.
There's good subs, and then there's great subs. Hi, I'm Isaac Feinman, here to tell you about Firehouse Subs and Taylors on Wade Hampton Boulevard. How about that hook and ladder sub, huh? Smoked turkey breast, Virginia honey ham, smothered with Monterey Jack cheese, and fully involved. Mm-hmm. You make it a combo, just add chips and a drink, and how about a freshly baked cookie or a warm brownie? You'll enjoy it. It's a great sub at Firehouse Subs and Taylors.
Welcome back to the second half of 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter, and I'm glad you're with us. We are talking about our body, mind, and spirit. And this is so important, and I get so energized because I absolutely believe Jesus says, yeah, this is it. This is where what I want you to be talking about, Sam, and this is what I want you to be listening to. Block out all these distractions that are going on, and block out any preconceived notions you may have about this, and really listen, because it not only does it make sense on just the day-to-day level, but it makes a lot of spiritual sense. God wants an A-plus life for you. Now, the A-plus life is not defined by what our culture defines, that everything is going right and, you know, and you material success and all that, although God's not against that. But the A-plus life for you now, individually, you today listening to me, God designed you uniquely. He gave you gifts. He has placed you where He wants you, and He wants you to thrive there. And the only way you can really thrive there is if your body is healthy, your mind is fresh, and your spiritual life is thriving because of both of those. You cannot separate these. If there's anything I could get across to you, is you cannot separate your body from your mind, from your spirit, your spiritual life, and your spiritual effectiveness. And we're going to talk plenty about that over the next few weeks, our bodies and our minds, our fitness, our health, our rest, what we need to watch going into our minds, repel what's going into our minds, and what we want to replenish our minds with. But today I want to take the second half of the show and talk about, again, what are we doing with our time? Because if we're not effective, if we're not intentional and purposeful with our time, forget the rest of it. It's just good intentions. So remember, saying yes to something means saying no to something else. When you say yes to something, to some activity, to some board that you're going to serve on, to teaching Sunday school, to working in the choir, or to working around the church, or Habitat for Humanity, or an extra job, whatever you say, softball league, your soccer league for the children, when you say yes to something, you have a finite amount of time each day. That means you're going to say no to something else. So let's just step back and say, what are our priorities in life? You think about it for a minute. What are your priorities in life? If I got you in front of a chalkboard and said, okay, give me your top 3 or 4 or 5 priorities, I think you'd say God first. But, of course, we'd have to step back and go, really? I mean, really? If we watched your time, if we watched your focus, would God really come up? Would He rise to the top? Would we really see that? But let's just keep going with this exercise. God first. Then if you're married and have a family, you'd say family second. And I would encourage you to split that between spouse first and then children second, because that's God's design. And if you put the children first, then the marriage is going to turn upside down. So family, yes. So God first, family second. And the next thing you're going to probably say is work, because we live in a world where we work. We provide for ourselves. That's the, you know, I think we would have worked whether there was a fall or not. God likes work, and work can be a great thing. But we normally would put work as number three, but I'd say, no, no, step back. You better put health as number three. You better put health at number three because you will not do well at work if you're not watching your health. So, of course, we'll talk plenty more about that next week. But God first, family second, health third, work next, because we do have to work. And then whatever you want to add in after that, community work, church involvement, recreational activities. But if you put those as your top priorities, you got to look at that each day and go, okay, who am I going to cheat here? Where am I going to have to ration time? Because I got to be careful. I really cannot get everything done in a day that comes our way. And so if I don't say yes each day, if I don't say yes to the things that I have said are my priorities, I'll end up saying no to them without even realizing it. You know, we put God first, family second, health, work. It reminds me of Vince Lombardi, who was the great Green Bay Packer coach years ago. Maybe a lot of people would say the greatest coach of all times. And a hard-driving coach. He really just hammered those guys, and he just stayed after them, and he just worked them so hard. And he was all about football. Vince Lombardi is the one who said, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. That's Vince Lombardi. Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. And yet, he told his players, if you will put this as your priorities, God, family, and then the Green Bay Packers. God first, family second, and then the Green Bay Packers will be a successful team. Now, how in the world do you get that coming out of a man who is famous for having said, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing? Well, Vince Lombardi knew that if you don't get your priorities right, if his players aren't getting God first, their family second, the Green Bay Packers are going to suffer. Your performance is going to suffer on the field. If you don't have your relationship with your Heavenly Father straight, and if you're not putting that as a priority, first priority, Vince Lombardi would say, if your family's not second, then the Green Bay Packers are going to suffer, and it's true for us. Culture, think about this. What does culture demand from us? What does it require from us? And in the same tone, what does it reward? See, culture doesn't require or demand, nor does it reward, you spending quiet time with your Heavenly Father. If He's a priority, you're going to start each day spending quiet time with Him. And you're going to spend time with Him throughout the day, at least in your mind. Culture doesn't reward that. Culture requires that we work, that we do a bunch of community activity, and then when it comes to church, that we get real involved at church. See, there's no pat on the back for spending extra time with your family, for making them a priority over this activity. And I'm not saying these activities are wrong. Most of the time, it's a competition between what's best for you and your family and your relationship with your Heavenly Father and a whole lot of good stuff. So you have to step back and say, who will I cheat in this? If I'm going to make this a priority, if I'm going to say yes to God first, my family second, my health third, work fourth, and somewhere along the way I'm going to have to push back on all the other activities that come my way and say, no, I can't do that right now. Maybe later. Maybe there'll be another season in my life. If you don't say yes to God first, I can promise you you will push Him right out of your life. If you don't wake up in the morning and say, you know, I want to spend a little time with my Heavenly Father, if you say, you know what, I'm busy, I'll do it tonight, you won't do it tonight. And the very, very rarely can anyone actually have a meaningful quiet time at night. Maybe you're the exception, but I tend to doubt it. Most of the people I know, when you really press them on it, you really ask them, they go, you know, you're right. My head's banging off the Bible after I read five sentences. I haven't even got through a half a chapter, and I can't remember what it was I read. Quality time in the morning, if you say yes to God first, and then you say yes to your family next, and then you say yes to your health, and then, of course, we say yes to work, whether you're in the home or outside of the home. Then it's going to require you to say no to a lot of other activities that might be good things. You have to keep asking yourself, who am I going to cheat in this? Am I going to cheat my Heavenly Father? Because let me just tell you, when you do something, when you say yes to something, you're saying that it is important to you. And then by virtue of that, you're saying to the things that therefore you have to say no to, that they're not as important. So if you didn't say yes to your Heavenly Father this morning, and you get into the habit, and all of a sudden you've drifted, and it's been 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, and one day you show up in front of your Heavenly Father, and He says, you know, we don't know each other. And you go, yeah, but you know, I mean, look at the way I look at my house. You know, look at my daily schedule. Come on, give me a break here, God. I mean, you were important to me. And he'll say, no, wait a minute. The important things in your life got done. What was important to you got done, and obviously I wasn't. I say, I don't want that for you, and I don't want that for me. So we say yes to our Heavenly Father first, our family next. When you're so busy that you don't have time to spend with your family, you're flying upside down. And you are saying to your children, and you are saying to your spouse, you are not as important to me as these other things. No, now you would never verbalize that, and you hear me say that, and you go, oh, that's not true, but it is. And that's what they hear. They hear you saying, these things, these other things are more important to me than you are. And I cannot tell you how many grown-ups, a lot of women will tell me, my father, he loved me, I knew he loved me, but I was never a priority in his life. Or men who say, I had to work to get my father's affection, I had to perform to get my father's affection. And of course, this is true with mothers too, but I deal so much with men. You say to them, you're not as important to me as these other activities are. That's what you're saying. And you might be saying that to your spouse if you're spending all day running around with even children's activities. No, we have to say yes to the things we say are our priorities and no to the things. Think of it this way. How do you take your time and how do you view your time just like you might view your money? It is a commodity, you know. Do you spend most of your money or do you save some and invest it? Do you spend most of your time or do you invest your time? Because I got to tell you, time with your Heavenly Father is an investment. Time with your family is an investment. Time on your health is an investment. If you don't spend time on your health, you'll pay for it later. If you don't spend time with your Heavenly Father, you'll pay for it later. Not in that He's going to punish you, is you will miss that divine relationship with Him. If you don't spend time with your family, you will miss and you will suffer later. I want you to keep thinking and remembering, when I say yes to one thing, somewhere I've got to say no. So be sure that you say yes each day to the things that are most important to you. Who will you cheat? Who will you ration? Your Heavenly Father wants the A-plus life for you. He wants you to experience that immeasurably abundantly more, that 30, 60, 100 time, 100-fold increase in the fruit, the talents that He gives you to double. He wants to pat you on the back and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You took what I gave you and you flourished in it. But you will not be able to do that if you're not purposeful and intentional with your time. Say yes to the things that are most important. And then you'll be forced to say no to things that aren't important. Next week, we'll talk more about body, mind, and spirit. You can check out our website, 721ministries.org. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.
Opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Christian Talk 660 is WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson. Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia.